Blog Talk Radio.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now.
What then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Let it not be. For he says to Moshe, I shall favor whomever I favor, and I shall have compassion on whomever I have compassion. So then, it is not of him who is wishing, nor of him who is running, but of Elohim who shows favor. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, saying, purpose I have raised you up to show my power in you, and that my name be declared in all the earth. So then, he favors whom he wishes, and he hardens whom he wishes. Then you shall say to me, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his counsel? But who are you, O man, to talk back to Elohim? Shall that which is formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have authority over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for value and another not for value? And if Elohim, desiring to show wrath and to make his power known, with much patience tolerated the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his esteem on vessels of compassion, which he had prepared beforehand for esteem, even whom he called, not only us of the Yahudim, but also of the nations. As he says in Hosea 2, I shall call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living mighty one. And Yeshayahu cries out on behalf of Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant shall be saved. For he is bringing a matter to an end, and is cutting it short in righteousness, because Yahweh shall cut short a matter on the earth. And as Yeshayahu said before, if Yahweh of hosts had not left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shem Yahusha Mashiach, gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, we come before thee, giving praise to your holy name, thanking you once again for the blessing of life, thanking you once again for the blessing of this opportunity to stand before you, to stand before your people, to minister your word. Holy Father, cleanse us by the blood of your Son and forgive us for our sins we committed against you. Holy Father, strengthen us by your Spirit that we that we be obedient to your voice and submissive to your divine will. Holy Father, when we go astray to the left or to the right, through thy loving kindness and compassion, we ask that you chastise us, Holy Father, that we may return to thee, our first love. For those who may be listening, may you uplift their hearts, their minds, lead them and guide them by your Spirit, unveiling the truth of your word, that we may all have understanding. We humbly and sincerely ask these things through your Son, our Savior and our Redeemer, Yahushua, our Messiah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And welcome once again to Jeremiah 1:10 as we continue our current topic, contradictory Bible teachings. Tonight, we continue looking at some of the ideas that are being circulated around Israel and the Gentiles and salvation. During the first segment of this current topic, the question was asked, are Gentiles welcome into the faith actually Israelites who lost their identity? The answer simply being no. Why? Because salvation has always been offered to humanity as a whole. We took a look at the question, will all natural-born Israelites be guaranteed salvation? Once again, the answer is simply no. According to our opening passage from Romans, it clearly shows that a remnant will be saved. And when we consider the entirety of the context of the passage, we have to look at the fact that Brother Paul interjects the whole idea that the Most High will have favor on whom he will have favor, compassion on whom he will have compassion. And as we've discussed before, according to his word, he's even went as far as laying out who is going to receive that favor and that compassion. And that are those who obey his voice. Tonight we want to look at the question, Israel. While physical Israel is left without hope. Now, when you think about that question, there's that doctrine that some of you may be familiar with that they have entitled replacement theology. And the idea with replacement theology is that Christians, as was said, are the new Israel. We ask the question, is that true? And when we think about Christianity as a whole, there are many, many, many things wrong with Christianity. And one of the things that the Most High helped me to see fairly recently, as far as the truth, and what I say, one of the things that we don't want to lose sight of and that we always want to emphasize, especially on the broadcast presented by Kul Alahim, is that when we refer to truth, truth is the word of Yah, period. Be it the Tanakh, which consists of the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, be it the Yerit HaKadoshah, which is the New Testament writings, or some of the apocryphal writers. And we have to be careful when it comes to the apocryphal writers because adversary and some of those examples have slid some false teachings in. But when it comes to the truth, what the Most High helped me to see is that the greatest enemy of the truth are those groups out there, those denominations, who proclaim to be Bible believers, yet in their doctrine as well as their practice, live their lives contrary to the very same book. And that's interesting, especially when you look at Catholicism / Christianity. And I lump those two together in spite of the fact that you have the Protestant religions out there. Because one of the mainstays of Christianity, which is derived from Catholicism, and the Roman Catholics have no problem letting you know that. Well, and let me back up. The Roman Catholic Church, the leadership particularly, have no problem letting you know that when all of these Christian denominations keep Sunday as the day of worship, they are in fact acknowledging the Roman Catholic Church as the authority. Why? Because it was the Roman Catholic Church who ordained Sunday, not the Holy Scripture. So that's looking at that example, the fact that among Christianity, they are keeping a day as being holy, that the Holy Scripture that they carry back and forth to their church, to their worship service, to their Bible study, there is not a shred of evidence to support the first day of the week holy, the only exception being when one of the annual high holy days just so happens to fall on the first day of the week. That is the only time that the first day of the week becomes holy, when one of the days mentioned by the Most High falls on that day. Otherwise, the fact that they are observing Sunday, how can you proclaim to be the new Israel when the Holy Scripture is very clear in regard to his observance? Now, to get this started, we want to turn to the book of Exodus, speaking of which, matter of fact, before we go there, let's do this. There's a parable that we want to get into, and I want to read this. And the parable, for those of you who may be familiar with it, even for those who may not be familiar with it, it's entitled The Rich Man and Lazarus. Some of you may have heard it before. But I'm going to read this, and I want everybody who is listening to pay attention to what's being said, because it's very important, the point that you're going to hear being made once to the end of the parable. So it goes like this. This is coming from Luke chapter 16. I'm going to start at verse 19. But there was a certain rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen and lived luxuriously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Eleazar, or Lazarus. The Hebrew name was actually Eleazar. Being covered with sores, who was placed at his gate, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Indeed, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to be that the beggar died and was carried by the messengers to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And while suffering tortures in Sheol, having lifted up his eyes, he saw Abraham far away and Eleazar in his bosom. And crying out, he said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me and send Eleazar to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your life you received your good, and likewise Eleazar the evil. But now he is comforted, and you are suffering. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set, so that those who wish to pass from here to you are unable, nor do those from there pass to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, lest they also come to this place of torture. Abraham said to him, Have Moshe and the prophets, them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they shall repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moshe and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, even if one should rise from the dead. Now, that passage, that parable, I think is a very powerful and makes a very poignant point in regard to the word of Yah. Now, a couple things you can glean from that. One thing being the fact that he says they have Moshe and the prophets. Let them hear them. And what he's doing in this parable, he's actually showing the importance of what we refer to today as the Old Testament. You see, when we read in the New Testament scriptures, right? Now, there's a passage in Timothy, Brother Paul, he wrote, he said, how all scripture is given by inspiration of the Most High. He is not talking about what we refer to today as the New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament. See, when Brother Peter, he says how the holy men spake, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He was talking about the prophets of old. Because at the time that these letters were written, the New Testament as we know it wasn't even composed as a book. Because the majority of the New Testament consists of letters that Brother Paul wrote, letters that Peter wrote, letters that John wrote, as well as the gospel narrative, which is simply the story of the Messiah in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But then you have the prophetic book at the end, which is Revelation. But the majority of the New Testament were letters that these people were sending to other assemblies, other churches. So when they were talking about the Holy Scripture, what we have to understand is that they were referring to Moshe and the prophets. Now, the fact that he's emphasizing that point, I want to make reference to, but when Lazarus asked him to send him, the rich man asked him, Abraham to send Lazarus, Abraham's response was this. Before I even get to the response, he said, send Lazarus, if someone from the dead, then they'll repent. This came on the heels of what Abraham said. They have Moshe, they have the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, what the rich man is saying, yeah, I know they had the Old Testament scriptures, but I already know they ain't going to listen to that. So what I want you to do, I want you to send somebody and resurrect them from the dead, then they will repent. In other words, it's going to take more than just them hearing Moses and the prophet. That's the idea behind the statement. But then what Abraham's response was in the parable, if they don't hear Moshe and the prophets, they are not going to hear somebody just because they resurrect from the dead. And that's a powerful statement. Why? Because there is somebody who resurrected from the dead, who happened to be where Christians allegedly get their title from. Now, for the sake of example, I'm going to use the name Jesus Christ. Okay? And we think about what a Christian is. A Christian is supposed to be Christ-like. Right? Now, according to it was Jesus Christ who was resurrected from the dead, correct? But in his teaching, where did he direct the people? He taught them not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. In other words, Moshe and the prophets. Don't even think that I came to do away with what they wrote. He didn't come to do away with that. I came to fulfill. And when he says that, see, what Christians will teach you, he came to fulfill the word to the point where now we don't have to keep it anymore. That's not what he said. If that was the intention, what was the purpose of this parable? Now, this is just one example. And let me just say this because some people may hear this and try to get this all twisted. In no way, shape, or form am I promoting Jesus Christ, because at the one spot in regard to what's wrong with Christianity, that's the number one spot, Jesus Christ, because that was not the name of the Messiah. So that means that they are following a false entity in addition to worshiping on the wrong day. How can they replace the people of Yah when they're not even doing anything that the word of Yah says? They don't even believe in the Messiah who came. You know why? The Messiah himself said, I have come in my Father's name. How many Christians actually know what the name of the Father really is? How can you be spiritual if you don't even know the name of the Father? Because if you knew the name of the Father, you would also be aware that Jesus is not the Messiah, because it does not contain that name. But what makes it even sadder is this. Every Christian says the name, and I think I would be correct in saying, for those who are fervent churchgoers, every Christian says the name, or at least hears the name every week. But what makes it is that they don't even realize that's the name of the Father. And why I say that is this. I'm sure there's not a Christian church that exists that you don't hear the members at some point say, "Hallelujah." I'm sure there's not a Christian that exists at some point they don't utter those words, "Hallelujah." Not even realizing that what you're actually supposed to be is that you're giving praise to the name of the Father, which is Yah. So when the Messiah says, "I am come in the Father's name," see, what he is telling to those who are the Bible students, for real, is that the name I possess is the same name that my Father had. So when you say the name Yahushua, you hear the name of the Father opposed to the name Jesus. Now, when you back that up, Jesus, Yah, you don't hear that. But that's a simple truth, you see. So how can they be spiritual Israel when they don't accept the Messiah for who he was, for who he is, and for who he will always be? In the very same Bible they came back and forth to church, that's what he said. He was the same today, yesterday, and forever. But do they believe that, or have they accepted the counterfeit Messiah? See, Brother Paul talks about if somebody else comes and teaches another Messiah, he says, or you receive another spirit. He also went as far as mentioning another gospel. See, what Christianity, unfortunately, is unaware of, that when Brother Paul made those statements, everything he said is what they believe. They believe in that other Messiah. They receive that other gospel. They have received that other spirit, because they don't have the spirit of Yah. They don't have the gospel of Yah, and they surely don't have the Messiah of Yah. So how can they in any way, shape, or form be spiritual Israel when everything that they do is an error and totally contrary to the very Bible they have sitting on their bookshelf at home?
That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. "For if he that cometh preaches another Yahushua," it says Jesus, "another Yahushua, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him." And that's exactly what you see in Christianity, because Jesus is not who Paul preached. The gospel and those teachings is not what Paul taught. All these things that you see going on within the Christian church is not what was given. But people are, what do you say, very well bearing with it. That they're going to bear the teachings Charles Taze Russell. They're going to bear all these different teachings of these different men. All right, and that's what they do, mm-hmm. to the point where it locks their mind, you know. So if you try to say something to them, "Oh, no, that's not what I believe." But it might not be what you believe, but what's written, you understand, is what the brothers say, replacement theology. That's what they're following, a theology, not so much the Bible,
Amen.
You know. That's what you see going on. It's exactly what Paul said would happen.
Hallelujah.
So back to the example that was being given, and that's using it from the perspective of where they get their name or their title from, Christian, really adhere to the teachings of the book? That's the question. Because the point that's been made here, if we brought somebody from the dead, guess what they're going to teach? They're going to teach the exact same thing that Moshe and the prophets teach. You know why? Because his word is one. There's nothing new in the New Testament. Man was trying to do it that way, and they give you this perception that there's something new, and the idea is there's something different. When we learn about the Great Commandment, for example, now what you're going to hear a lot of Christians say in regard to the law, well, we have to keep the law of the Messiah. See, when they make that statement, you know what that tells me? That tells me they don't even understand who the Messiah really is. You see? And why do I say that? Yeah. Because when Israel stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, who you think was speaking to them and giving them those instructions? When Moshe went to the top of Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights on two separate occasions, who you think he was talking to up in Mount Sinai? The very same Messiah who came down, took on flesh, died for our sins in the very city. So how can you say that, well, we keep the law of the Messiah and not the law of Moses, but Messiah gave Moses the law? The Torah is the law of the Messiah. If you pay attention to what the Holy Scripture teach, he gave that word to them. You see? But how many Christians are even aware of that? He said that for a reason. They come to do away with the laws of the prophets. But do they believe that? Or, as my brother just brought out, have they gravitated to the various theologies? You see, brother sent me a video today, and the topic of the video was called cognitive dissonance. And basically what the idea behind cognitive dissonance is this. In spite of a truth being revealed within the very words that you have here, a lot of times what people do, because they're uncomfortable with the truth, and that brings back to something that Jack Nicholson said, portraying a character in a movie, you can't handle the truth. And we look at the world today, the world can't really handle the truth because it's too simple for them. See? Made the word a little more complex than what it actually is. Because what it is, the Messiah and him speaking to the people, one of the things he oftentimes says, come to me and be like little children. Why he say that? What's the intention there? Because when you look at a child, see, a child in addition to the innocence of a child, see, a child is still in a position where they can be shaped and they can be molded. We already are who we want to be. So when a simple truth is revealed, it's easier for me to accept something that is contrary to it, which is what you find with Christianity, Catholicism, and Islam, and Judaism, and all these other belief systems out there. It's easier to accept that. You know, maybe it's because, well, this is the way that my people were brought up. You see? You know, you find this with a lot. Well, my grandmother was Baptist. My great-grandmother was Baptist. My great-great-grandmother was Baptist. So they're going to stand on the fact that their family was practicing error. So since my family, I have a lineage of practicing error, I'm going to continue practicing this error. That's actually what they're saying when you get down to the nitty-gritty with it. You know, to keep it very blunt and straight up with you. Because, see, when it comes to the word of Yah, what people don't realize, you're talking life or death. You're talking blessing or curse. That's life or death. That's the choice that lies before every human being on this planet. We have to make a choice. Either we're going to serve the Most High according to what he has laid out, or we're going to walk to the dictates of our own heart. And what you find with all these different denominations, they are the dictates of somebody's heart, and there's a gravitational pull from these different doctrines for all different types of people. That's why he says in another place how what people normally do, they seek teachers having itching ears. In other words, people are out there looking for what they want, not for what the Most High is. The problem, you see? But when he says that, going back, he says, and he said, no, but if someone from the dead goes, they shall repent. But he said, and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded from the dead. So there is one who rose from the dead, as we were saying. That's the Messiah. When the Messiah rose from the dead, what did he say was going to happen? Well, go back for a moment to one of the discussions he had with the students, the disciples. He told them that it was expedient for him to go away. He said that when he goes away, that the Father would send them a comforter or a helper, which is the Holy Spirit. And when we receive that Holy Spirit, what that Holy Spirit would do, it would lead the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the truth? David wrote about what the truth was. He says that thy commandments are truth. See, when he said the truth, all Israel had at that time was what we refer to as now the Old Testament scriptures. So when he said that the Holy Spirit will lead you to the truth, if you a student of the Bible at that time, you understood that what the Holy Spirit would lead you to are the commandments which David wrote was truth. The law or the Torah, the instructions which David wrote is truth. Even the Messiah, before he left this earth, while he still walked in the flesh, he asked the Father to sanctify his people in his truth. To sanctify means set them apart. When you look at Christianity today, and everybody who follows Christianity, whatever the label they put on, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, etc., are they set apart according to the word of the Most High, or do they practice contrary workings? Think about it. Go to any Christian household on Sunday. Guaranteed you're going to find some swine up in there. That's not according to his instructions. Guaranteed you go to some of these Christian churches, you're going to find some women up in the pulpit teaching. That's not according to his instructions. You see? There's a lot of things that these people are practicing. There's no mention of a birthday of the Messiah, yet they all sing happy birthday to their precious Jesus Christ every December 25th. Find me one shred of evidence in the Holy Scripture that says he was even born on that day. That's not according to the word of Yah. Bring some research and do some reference behind the word Easter. That's fine. One time in the Holy Scripture and find out what the name Easter really is. It's not according to the word of Yah. And these are just some of the tips of the iceberg we're talking about right now. But all of these things are included in the doctrine of Catholicism and Christianity. How can they in any way, shape, or form be the replacement for the people of Yah? How? When they're not living according to God. How can that be? But what they're going to tell you is this. Well, according to the new covenant, we're not under the law anymore. But let's see what the New Testament says about that. Okay? I want to look at two passages. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. And what we're going to find out in this passage is that he gives a description of his people. Now, one of the things he says is this. He says, this is, again, Revelation 12, 17, the dragon grew angry with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her offspring. And listen to how they describe the offspring. And listen to the order, because the order is very important.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Describe them as being those who keep the commandments of the Most High first. You realize that it is a commandment to offer sacrifice for sin? Did you realize that? And if it is a commandment to offer sacrifice for sin, see, what the implication is this. that it is a commandment to accept the offering that has been made. So now he says, who keep the commandment of Mosai and hold the testimony of Yahushua. It's a command for us to do that, to accept his son. How do we know that? Because he told Israel, I set before you water and fire, the blessing and the curse, right? He told them to choose life. That's a command. He instructed them to choose life. And what is their life? What did the Messiah say? They came to him after Lazarus dead. This is different Lazarus from the parable. And one of the things he told them, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So when he tells Israel to choose life, see, if you're a Bible student, that's one of the things that we receive the Holy Spirit for. You know what? Because it's going to lead and guide us to all truth. So what that's going to take us to, understanding what that sacrificial system pointed to, understanding that when the Messiah came to lay down, to fulfill the sacrificial system, so when we choose life, the resurrection and the life he received is the life he gave for us. That's all he's saying. But with that comes something else. Let's go to another passage. This is in Revelation as well. And these are New Testament passages. And here's the question. New Testament believers who say we don't have to keep the Old Testament anymore, why is it in your book, okay, that we're supposed to do these things if it wasn't important? And when he said the commandments in your book, the commandments of God, and what is he talking about? The mighty one of the Old Testament. That's what we're talking about. I put it in that order. Here is the perseverance of the saint. Now, what is a saint? See, what a saint is somebody who has been sanctified, set apart as holy.
It
sure ain't that Mother Teresa, brother said. Hold on.
Not that foolishness that you saw this weekend when Pope went and called himself sanctifying Mother Teresa, one who denounced the Most High. How you going to make her a saint and at the end of her life, she ain't believing the Most High?
Come on now.
The brother is reading what a saint is. Don't believe what the Catholic Church has set up as saints. They are not saints.
Amen.
Allow the brother to read what Yahweh says a saint is, what the word of Yah says a saint is. Some organization
that thing is. Hallelujah. And that's the thing right there. That's why Christianity can never be the replacement for Israel. Now, and let me say this. Not to say that those who are practitioners of Christianity or Catholicism or any other of these false religious systems can't be, as we've been discussing in previous episodes. But when it comes to being a saint, somebody who's been sanctified for the purpose of the Most High, he says, here is the perseverance of the saint. Keep the commandments of Mighty One and the faith of Yahushua. It's not just this one thing. See, they believe that just keeping the faith or having the faith of the Messiah is enough. First of all, you got to have faith in the right Messiah. Faith in Jesus ain't going to cut it. It has to be faith in the Messiah that was sent by the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the Messiah, not Jesus Christ or any other variation of that name other than Yahushua HaMashiach. That is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then you're lost. It's having faith in that work. But before that, keeping the commandments is what builds up that faith. Because you are adhering to the word of Yah, you now are in tune with him and his things by his spirit, so that when the Messiah came, guess what? You understood who he was. And the Messiah said that. If you understand the word, he told the Israelites during his day, if you really believe what Moses wrote, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. So what that was telling us for us Bible
Bible students what that was saying to us. Even our forefathers as Hebrew Israelites did not believe what Moses wrote. Why? Because they rejected the Messiah when he came. They didn't believe him. You know why? Because they already created their own way of life. They refer to it even to this day. Rabbinic Judaism is still in existence. That's what they're still practicing. We get into the Midrash and the Talmud and Mishnah. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some level of truth. There is some level of truth there. But here's the problem. They corrupted the word of Yah. How do we know that? Because the Messiah said they did. You, by the tradition of your elders, have made void the commandments of Yah. That's what he said. And that's what you find them doing out there. They're practicing something other than what the Torah has prescribed. And I'm talking about the Jews, those who refer to themselves as Jewish. Even they have gone astray. There's nothing in the word that says we need to have some type of roasted or boiled egg on the Seder plate for Pesach. Where is that? Not in the word. And I only mention that small example to show that they also pulled from Babylon, just like the Christians around the exact same time. That's not coincidence. Uh-huh. Brother just brought out this passage by that they still to this very day weeping for Tammuz. Why even name one of your months after a false entity unless you were caught up in that wish? There's a lot of things with this Judaism. Even Brother Paul talked about it, and I mentioned this in several broadcasts, where he says Jews' religion, look it up, in the Greek language, is Judaism. That's what it's saying. That's y'all thing. That's not the word of Yah. You see? So what the Most High is doing in our world today, he's raising up brothers and sisters who have a desire to do His will. And what that means is this. You have to approach the Most High as we oftentimes encourage and as we strive to do on a day-to-day basis. First thing it's going to take is some humility. And when you think about what humility is, humility simply put, a state of mind. What's that state of mind? See, that state of mind is not thinking too highly of yourself. Now, let's understand this. Humility isn't It can be negative if persuaded by the adversary, but in the right perspective, what you're saying is that you acknowledge the Most High as being just that, the Most High. Matter of fact, just to give another example, according to NA and AA, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, they have what's called a 12-step. In this 12-step program, you know what the first step is? The first step is acknowledging something that is greater than yourself. In other words, in order for them to beat their addiction, they have to acknowledge a higher power. Now, they kind of misconstrued it, and they basically say, for the sake of inclusiveness for all people, well, your higher power can be whatever you choose it to be, which is null and void at this point in regard to what the Holy Scripture teaches. But the reason I interjected that example was just to say this. The first in coming to the Most High in ourselves of the addiction, what we call sin, because sin is very addictive, you see, is to acknowledge higher than ourselves. So we have to have an open mind. And that's the interesting point, you know, because a lot of times when people think about Bible believers, they assume that Bible believers are closed-minded, not realizing that you're the one who's closed-minded because you're not even acknowledging the creator of the heavens and the earth. But yet your science cannot exist without it. And whatever turn they make, they keep coming to this roadblock. And the reason why there's that roadblock is because it's the proof that there has to be something else. But every time they hit it, they make the U-turn, and then they go another direction. They're trying to find something else. But no matter where they go, you know what? Old song that comes to mind making that statement. Parliament Funkadelic. What's the song? So high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it.
so wide you can't get around it. See, that's the word of Yah. It's everywhere you go, at every turn, you see. So when you think about your precious science for those who don't even accept the word of Yah, no matter which direction you go, you're going to be faced with the truth. There is something greater. So the first step, once again, coming to the Most High, is acknowledging that he's just that, the Most High, and accepting it. And by accepting it, what are we doing? We are agreeing internally, mentally, spiritually, that we are going to now submit to his word. Now let's look at a passage.
It's interesting, hallelujah, that the brother said that, because, like you said, New Testament, John chapter 15, it said, as the Father have loved me, so have I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. And the main thing, most Christians that you talk to, they say we don't have to follow the laws and the commandments of God, because why? It's all about love. Verse 10 in that same chapter, John chapter 15, verse 10 said, if ye keep my commandments, that's how you love him. He said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Remember the brother said earlier, it's talking about the God of the Old Testament, which is not Old Testament. It's just talking about the God of the Word. It's no New Testament, no New Covenant. It's the same existing Word from Genesis to Revelation. That's why he was reading the New Testament scriptures. But he said, John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Amen.
So then when you realize that, when you see that, then you go to 1 John chapter 2. He called you my little children. Remember the brother said earlier, a child is humble. He's humble to what? Follow the commands of his guardian, his mother, his father. So we also know, he said, these things I write unto you that you should sin not. And if you, any man, sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Mashiach, Yahushua, the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You love him, and you're following a denomination that's teaching you contrary against his word, the person who you love, the Father who gave his son life for you, shed his blood for you. You have to follow by the guidelines. So he said, verse 3, 1 John 2, 3, New Testament. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commands. Now we can stop right there, but verse 4 is very important. He that says, I know him. People say, I know, I love the Lord. He know my heart. I hear him. It's a difference, though. Everyone heard of Michael Jordan. Everyone heard of, by this time now, Donald Trump. Obama, I'm sure everyone heard of by this time. You heard of these people, but do you know them? How do you know them? See, the Father is distinguishing himself. He's setting himself apart, because he's saying, if you know me, you will abide and do these things. He left nothing to man's control, nothing to man's demise, which man is demising himself because he's not following the command and the love of the Most High. The Most High left instructions for you to follow. Just like anything in the man's world that man lives in, we have instructions to anything that we most likely operate, we purchase, most likely has instructions to it. Even with man, he gave us instructions how to rear up children, how to be a family.
Man.
He left nothing to man's demise, nothing to man's control to do that. He set Adam over dominion over the things that he made the first 5 days in creation. But he still gave Adam a pattern, a foundation. Try to say it's done away with. All we have is love. Okay, 1 John 2, 3, hereby we do know that we know him if you keep his commandments. He that says I know him and keep not his commandments, as the brother was saying, is a lie, and the truth is not in him. Whoa. Isaiah 8:10 comes along and say, him that do not know this, there's no light in him. The law and the testimonies. So now he says, it's a person that don't keep his commandments. Remember the brother asked, said, quote a few things that's really daily. I used to be a Christian. People think I stopped following God. No, I'm following him more closely as the Lamb guides me.
Amen.
Not doctrines of man, as the brother said earlier, the traditions of elders.
Amen.
The brother mentioned Easter. That's not a command of Yahweh. You will see Passover, though. That's your salvation. That's where all the blood is involved. Christians do believe in the cross and the blood, but they don't understand about that blood. Leviticus 17:11 tell you the life of the body is in the blood. That's what that blood is talking about. So when you take that Passover there, that's your salvation. You partaking in why? Because he obeyed all the commands, not those so-called Jewish commands, like he said, Judaism. He obeyed the commandments of his father. He told him, he warned him, he said, why do you put the traditions of man above the father? The father tell you honor your mother and father. That's the fifth commandment. He said, you say Corbin. That's no. So you're gonna put the commandments of man or the elders? Then they asked him one time. A lot of people remember in Mark 7. He said, why do your disciples transgress? They don't wash their hands. He said, wash their hands? He told him what comes out of the man defiles him. Not saying, though, that didn't exclude, like one of the brothers taught, that that's a pass so that you could eat anything. No, because the Father never left nothing up to mankind to do on his own demise, on his own will. You have a choice, though. Like he gave Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis. What did he tell them? Genesis 2:16. Amongst the trees in the garden, you can have everything. But these two in the midst, this one here, he didn't say both of them. He said, this one here thou should not eat of, because that day you should surely die. They could have ate off the other one if they choose. He leave man choice, like the brother said, I set before you fire and water. We choose. But getting back to 1 John 2:4, he that says I know him and not keep not his commandments is a liar. That's one of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 4, I believe. So it's nothing new under the sun, as the brother said. He set everything up for mankind. Okay, from that one, remember Matthew 22. A lot of Christians had that on the church fly. I'm going to turn to Matthew 22. Maybe another brother might have it before I get there. But that one definitely came to my mind because it touches me because I have a homeboy who became a minister that day, and that's in his church fly. Matthew 22 said, I think it's 22:46. It's up there. Matthew chapter 22 has a lot of, bam, there it is. Matthew chapter 22. It touches about resurrection, starting at verse 31. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the God of the dead, but of the living. That's what they're doing in these denominations. Like he said, evangelicalism. That's what they're doing. They're doing doctrines of demons, undoing demons. But the one that was Matthew 22:35 said, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, trying to tempt the Most High. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Yahshua said unto him, thou shalt love Yah with all, Yah thy Elohim, thy mighty one, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 4:6, family. There's nothing new under the sun. He said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, Matthew 22:40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And a lot of Christian churches, this is a contradictory, believe these are the only two commandments you have to follow. But mind you, I started off in John 15, New Testament.
Man.
John 1, the letter John 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19:18, I believe. And let's see what that said. Because we're talking about this love, because that's all the Christian doctrine is based on. And he just told him love. Well, the lawyer came to tempt him, asking him, what's the two greatest commandments? He said, love thy God, love Yahweh, thou Almighty One, thou Elohim, with all thy heart and all thy soul. And the second, love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. And then 1 John 3, 1 John 2 said it. Let's see what Leviticus 19 said. Bear with me 1 minute, family. It's almost over. But this just came to my mind when the brother was saying it. Man, we started at Leviticus chapter 17, excuse me. But start there because remember he said in 1 John 3, said, whom they don't keep his commandments, they're a liar. Let's read, let's start in Leviticus 19, verse 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thou, mighty one, I am Yahweh. That's what the pastors are doing out there because he didn't send them to teach like Romans 10 said. He didn't send them to teach. So they're putting stumbling blocks in front of people that sheep that's trying to, they're sheep or goats that's trying to get to the Most High, believe it or not. People are trying to be obedient out there. Verse 15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall judge thy neighbor. Verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a tower bearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against thy blood and of thy neighbor. These sound like commandments, family. And as they said in the New Testament, it's no more. And some Christians say it's just those two we read out of Matthew chapter 22, now verse 35 to 40. Verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt not any ways rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. That's what our so-called, that's what some of our Hebrew Israelite brothers that has a problem with people of another ethnicity, another nationality, Caucasian, what we would call white, African, Asian. So that's one there you had to ask yourself with that. Verse 19, you should keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gentle with the first kind. Thou shalt not sell thy food with mingled seed, neither shall I mix thy garment, woolen and come together. I'm trying to look for the one. If anybody find it, it's say love.
Oh, verse 18.
Verse 18, I missed it. Leviticus 18.
Yeah. 19, verse 18.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against thou, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou loves thyself. And that's the one. So if anything, the Christian doctrine, everything is based on love, you have to see all this comes back to the Old Testament, which is not the Old Covenant. It's the Word of Yah, the ancient ways, which is this program based on Jeremiah 1:10, turning down, rooting up, directing people back, showing people, bringing people out to the light of Yah, coming out this beast system, because that's what the Christianity, certain denominations, even Judaism, because it looks close, it looks similar, but it's denying the power of Yah and it's not bringing itself under submission and obedience under the HaMashiach, which they in denial of. So you can't have you had the love, but you don't have the fullness and the spirit of the love. He is the love. That's all I wanted to share on the book.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just picking back up with the thought before we continue in regard to the Most High and based on a statement that was there regarding raising up today according to his divine will. And these brothers and sisters who are coming to the awareness of who they are with sincerity, with truth. Again, first step being humility. We have to subject ourselves to the instructions of the Most High. And the passage that is in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul wrote to the assembly in Rome, picking up in verse 6 and 7, which reads, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. So we have that contrast with the flesh and the spirit. He says, because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards Yah. Now, in your translation, the King James Version, it said, the carnal mind is enmity toward the Most High. But then listen to what it says next. For it is not subject to Elohim's law. In other words, we have to come in humility. Why? It's his instruction that we be submissive to his word. But the mind of the flesh or the carnal mind, it is enmity towards the Most High. Why? Because it is not subject to Yah's law, neither indeed can it be. Therefore, those who are in the flesh cannot please the Most High. So when we look at a passage like this, clearly showing that it is not our nature, when we think about human nature, to serve the Most High according to his will. If the adversary, we don't want to leave him out of the loop, and when I use the adversary in no way or form, am I saying that the devil made anyone do anything? Because every choice that a person makes is a choice that a person makes. What the adversary does is this, deceive you. Okay? He blurs the lines, so to speak. Okay? That's all he does. He tempts you. That's all he does. But when it comes to making that decision to go contrary to the word, that's all us. No one to blame but ourselves. But what he's showing is this. If the adversary gets into the situation and he manipulates these ministers out here who's teaching these false doctrines and deceives them into believing that the Bible actually teaches you don't have to keep the commandments of the Most High, if we're being shown by the very same word that our carnal nature is to not subject ourselves to that law, what do you think we're going to receive? That goes back to that cognitive dissonance again. If we are being deceived into believing that we don't have to keep the commandments, but the very same word that we're using is showing us that the reason we disbelieve is because of our carnal nature, what is it that we're going to accept? So there goes the barrier. There goes keeping the commandments. Because, well, anyway, so if I can go to the Bible to substantiate my not obeying the voice of the Most High, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to continue using the Bible to prove I don't have to keep the commandments, in spite of the fact that the very same Messiah I claim to serve out his own mouth said he didn't come to do away with it. But that doesn't mean anything, because, see, there's a part of us that don't want to do it anyway. So if my pastor, my minister, would say I don't have to, then I don't have to do it. But the word says, because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards the Most High, for it is not subject to Yah's law, we don't accept that. In other words, we're rejecting that truth.
Another thing is, if you're not keeping in the word, that is going to cause you to keep. But Paul said that there's another spirit that you can receive. What is that other spirit going to do? It's going to cause you the opposite. You know, that you really are. The question is, are not keeping the commandments, and you hear, and there's so many words and so many verses and so many examples in the word that you say you follow and that you love and you hold dear and this, that, and another that say do it, but you're not doing it, you really ought to figure out which spirit you have on you. You ought to figure out, have I received this other spirit that Paul's been talking about? Why am I doing something contrary to what this book says, dude? If this is life and I'm doing something contrary to it, the only other thing is death. There's opposites. He said, choose which one you're going to pick, life or death, fire or water. Which one do you want?
Amen.
Lay your hand out. And so when you hear people say they don't have, you don't have to do the feast days, you don't have to do this, that, and another, which the words say do, what spirit is on them?
Amen.
Is this a person you ought to be around? Is this a person you ought to communicate with? You know? Because that spirit on you. There's a part of us that don't want to do it anyway. You know? Fortify, are you going to read? Or the Most High gave you to cause you to follow his laws and judgment? Which one are you going to reinforce? Because one is going to lead you to life. The other is going to lead you to the grave. You know, like we started off with the parable. The rich man reinforced living it up in this world.
Yeah.
He reinforced that. Where Lazarus reinforced, even though he didn't have, he reinforced humility.
Amen.
He reinforced doing the commands of the Most High, even though he didn't have. And a part of the story that a lot of people miss is that the Most High comforts you in in all your songs. So when the word said that even the dogs licked his sores, that was comfort for Lazarus, because those sores were hurting, they were swelling, and you have a dog licking on it, it's cooling it. You understand what I'm saying? He gave him some sort of comfort, even though he was going through all these trials and all these hardships. But look what Lazarus got in the end. He was in the bosom of Abraham. He was being held and nurtured by Abraham.
That's right.
Where the rich man wanted Lazarus to tip the tip of his finger in some water to cool his tongue. That's how much pain and torment he was in. Because he reinforced not doing what Yahweh said while he was alive. Where Lazarus reinforced doing what Yahweh said when he was alive. A lot of people think that this is it. This ain't it. You know? Following those commands gets you something backwards anyway. Either you're going to get life or you're going to get one or the other. Following those commands gets you eternal life. Plain and simple.
Hallelujah.
And you know, I'm going to go to another passage. Just again, I know people listening, they may be thinking, well, we sure are digging into Christianity tonight. But there's a reason why. You know, because when you get into that doctrine in particular, it's that whole idea of replacing Israel. See, through the past 6 weeks, in one of our Bible studies class, Bible study classes, excuse me, the Mure, or the teacher, one of the things that he has been pressing upon us by moving, according to the Holy Spirit, is how Israel are a special people to the Most High. Now, one of the things that you find as you read through the Bible narrative and the various prophets that wrote about Israel, whenever the Creator mentioned that they were going to be judged for their misdeeds and their sin, it was always followed by redemption.
Mm-hmm.
That he has to keep his word, you see. And as a Bible student, a Bible believer, one of the things we don't want to lose sight of is the promise that he made to Abraham.
That's right.
Because he made that promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and Israel are the descendants of these people, he is going to come through on his promise. Think, for those who accept it, because he also told Israel that he was. And we think about the whole passage we just looked at in Romans in regard to the carnal mind, you're talking about an Israel who are now adhering to their carnal mind opposed to the word of the Most High. I want to read this next passage. This is coming from Daniel. And for me, in consideration to everything that we've been talking about, is very significant when you think about what's being said here. And it's coming from chapter 7 and verse 25. And the passage reads, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High." Now, just looking at that clause, you have two entities. Whoever that he, the fact that he's speaking great words against, implies that he is in opposition to the Most High. Question, Bible believer, which side, the side of against the Most High, or the Most High? He also says, next clause, "and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Now, we all understand, according to the word, a saint is described as those who keep the commandments of Yah and have the testimony of Yahshua as sure. Question. The side where the person is speaking great words against the Most High, the person is wearing the saints of the Most High, or you want to be on the side of the saints who is connected to his people, or the Most High, that is. It says, last clause, "and think to change times and laws." So when we consider this person, whoever it is, this entity, this power, not only is he speaking against the Most High, not only is he persecuting the people of the Most High, it also says he will think to change times and laws. So when you hear this whole doctrine,
under the law, you're under grace. Guess what? That's that entity. They're speaking words against that same entity who wears out the saints of the Most High. Do your homework. Do some research on the Roman Catholic Church and the Inquisitions and find out who they was actually persecuting. See what Christians are going to say. Well, they was persecuting Christians. No, they were not. Who followed the ways of Israel. That's who they were persecuting. They were Christians during the persecution. A Catholic is a Christian who worshiped the Queen Mary. That's it. That's the only difference between a Catholic and a Christian. They put a lot of emphasis on the Queen of Heaven, whereas Christianity, they put a lot more emphasis on Jesus the Christ. That's the only difference. As doctors, they both keep Sunday. They both keep They may baptize different poor, somebody dunk, somebody sprinkle, but it is the same. They believe in Jesus, they believe in Sunday, and everything contrary to the Most High. And according to this verse here, they are following that beast, which we've discussed already. Furthermore, when they throw out this whole idea about the old and new covenant, here is the question to any Bible believer who wants to put that on the table. Do you even know what a covenant is? Furthermore, do you know what the old covenant was? Do you know what the covenant was? They say out of their mouth, well, we're not under the old covenant, we're under the new covenant. And in their mind, the new covenant does not entail keeping the commandments. When they say that, that tells me they don't even know what the word teaches about the new covenant. Because he didn't say that when he gave the new covenant. It has absolutely nothing to do with doing away with the law. I thought I just mentioned part of it when he was talking.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just want to touch on that specialness of Israel and where Christianity Israel is done away with. Because how we've been disobedient to our Father. But this is what Yahweh said to his children in Jeremiah 31:35. Yahweh who gives the sun for a light by day and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who stares up to the sea so that its waves roar. Yahweh of armies is his name. If these ordinances depart before me. Now listen to what he's saying. If the sea ordinance depart from him, the sun, the moon, the stars, all these things depart from our eyesight, let alone his eyesight, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever.
Man, come on.
If you can go out your house and look up in the sky right now and see anything up there, stars, clouds, anything. The seas still standing, Israel will still be standing.
Hallelujah.
See, that was a thought with the Most High. Because you go into 1 John, I think it's around, let me get that. I don't even want to mess that up because this is where they go at. Not 1 John, John. I'm not going to say St. John because the scripture don't call it that. That's what the Catholic came in and they put that in there. 1 John, I'm going to go around verse 10. And I'm going to start at 11 because this is one of the verses that they go to. He have came to his own, talking about the Messiah, and those who were his own did not receive him. See that? They rejected the Messiah. So because they rejected Messiah and we accepted the Messiah, now we are the true Israelites. But Yahweh, as he is merciful and powerful, he had a plan. Because if one of the brothers can find that, this scripture where it's talking about he's going to be a light to his own and a light to the Gentiles. See, he can kill two birds with one stone.
Man.
So, and that's what he was doing. Because it said after that, 12, but as many received him, to them he gave the right to become Yah's children, to those who believed in his name.
Man.
And who is he talking about?
What does the word but mean?
But it's a conjunction.
Yeah, but it shows the opposite, right?
Right.
So it's showing that he came into his own,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't receive him, but something else happened. The opposite happened.
That's right.
So some Israelites did receive him.
That's right.
According to the next verse.
That's right.
Right? Okay.
That's right.
So are those folks going to be replaced?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
I was just making sure.
You know, but they do use that, though. These are the scriptures that they run to and try to use. And see, we are Israel now. But it's so ironic. You get everybody under the sun trying to claim to be Israel.
Amen.
But Israelites themselves.
Amen.
But the natural born Israelites are the only ones who say, no, that can't be us. And it's bad to know and understand who we are, and we don't even want to accept that. But when one of the brothers finds that scripture, when he's going to be a light to the Gentiles and to Israel. But he also said in Ephesians, if you go into Ephesians, he starts showing something. You start showing that these two, y'all going to become one. Because Israel, all he went to, going to the scripture where it's, he said, he have not come but for the household of Israel, for the lost sheep of Israel. He didn't say nobody else. But that's not saying that he did not give salvation to the Gentiles. Because then you will have our brothers use that. See, the Messiah said out his own mouth, he only came to the lost sheep of Israel. That baffles me too, because we got the battle on both sides. But this ain't nothing new. Shaul and all the rest of the apostles, they had to do the same thing. All the prophets, they had to do the same thing. They had to battle Israel because they was going astray, and they had to battle the other ones who want what Israel has.
Amen.
There you
go. That's in Luke chapter 2.
Luke chapter 2, let's start at verse 30. Luke chapter 2, verse 30, it says, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him.
Toda Haki. Moving on, Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, now this is a letter that Brother Shaul, Brother Paul, wrote to the Ephesians. See, because back then, people's minds was getting out of hand. They was getting out of order,
mm-hmm.
trying to replace Israel. So, Brother Shaul, he didn't have just the right to Ephesians. He had the right to the Romans, too.
Amen.
We're going to go there. I'm quite sure one of the brothers got that. That's like an ace in the hole right there.
That's the last place we're going.
I know a brother got it. I knew it. I was like, I know that's an ace in the hole. You know, that's that one spirit.
Amen.
Therefore, remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by that which is called circumcised, means Israelites was calling them, y'all ain't nothing but common folks. In other words, that's what y'all common. Y'all don't have what we have. In the flesh made by hands. 12, that you were at the time separated from Messiah.
That's right.
Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were alienated, Gentiles. And a Gentile is anybody outside of the nation of Yisrael.
See?
Anybody.
That's right.
On the face of the planet.
That's right.
I don't care what you call yourself, what man has given you a title, but Yah said you are a Gentile.
Amen.
You are outside of the commonwealth of Yisrael in times past. But through his son, something happened. Because he also says, if you go back in Psalms 147, starting at 19 and 20, Israel has he only known. But Yah, like we read last week in Jonah, he is a mighty one who has salvation for mankind, period.
Amen.
That's it. Right. It's mankind who has salvation.
That's right.
But mankind got to come a certain way. Like the brother start off with, he going to have compassion on who he has compassion on.
Man.
And he going to give his ways to who he gave his ways to.
Man.
If we all want to join the Ravens, we can't go into the Ravens playbook and try to change the playbook.
Man.
And say, no, you know, I used to play for Cincinnati. No, we're going to take what Cincinnati, we're going to rename this. No, you're using the Ravens playbook.
Amen.
The same thing. The playbook was given to Yisrael, and you can't change that.
Hallelujah.
You can't change the Most High playbook because he got the number one coach, Yahushua HaMashiach.
That's right.
And he was going to direct you in every way you need to be directed to make the best play you can be, to be the best player you can be on his team, Team Yahushua.
Amen.
And that's who team we on.
Amen.
So back in 12, that you were at times separated from Mashiach, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise. You were a stranger of the covenant and the promises. If one of the brother Mariel, get Romans 9:4. Read that for us real quick. You are a stranger to these things. Read that for us, Akeem.
Who are Israelites? Who is the adoption and the esteem and the covenant and the giver of the Torah and the worship and the promise?
Hallelujah. Who is the Israelite? All those things that the brother just read, everybody else outside of Israel did not have it or do not have it unless you are connected to Israel. You are a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. You are a stranger to the covenant. You are a stranger to the promise. You are alienated from the Messiah. That's the promise. The Messiah is the promise. You are to him. Because of what he did, now, let me finish it out because it's going to tell you what he did. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without mighty one in the world. Mm. You were without the God of Yisrael. You were without him. You did not have him. That's what the scripture said. Right. You had Zeus. You had all these other deities who were false. You was without the mighty one. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now you know why everybody want to connect to Abraham. In some form or fashion, they want to connect their belief to Abraham. They want to claim Father Abba Abraham.
That's right.
No, he's Abba to Yisrael.
Amen.
That's who he's Abba to. He ain't Abba to these strange nations, to all these Gentiles.
Amen.
Islam want to jump on to Abba Abraham. He ain't your Abba.
Amen.
And don't say because he was Ishmael's father. That's not what the father sent down for him to do.
Amen.
That's not why he is the Hebrew.
Amen.
Ishmael was never called in Hebrew. So if you are called in Hebrew, and Hebrew Israelite, then Abraham is your Abba.
Amen.
But if you ain't called that, he is not your Abba. Although Keturah had five or six sons. Hagar had Ishmael. But he is not their Abba. In essence, they are illegitimate children until they come and take on the commonwealth of Israel, the
Amen.
Promises of Israel.
Amen.
Paul said it this way, the bond woman.
That's right.
And the free woman.
That's right.
So I'm not saying nothing outside of the scripture.
Amen.
I'm just rightly dividing the word for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, family. I just wanted to touch on what the brother was saying. And most of the Christians today don't understand that they have to be drafted in. And what they have to be drafted in is the way of the Most High.
Amen.
And what happened, Yahweh had put a scripture like Romans 11 on my mind.
Amen.
And I'm going to read two scriptures. Romans 11, 1 says, I said then, has Elohim rejected his people? Let it not be, for I also am an Israelite. This is Paul letting you know he's an Israelite.
Amen.
So if he's going to reject his people, he will reject Paul also.
Right.
Of the seed of Abraham. And he's saying the same thing my brother just said. He's of the seed of Abraham.
Right.
Of the tribe of Benjamin. And with Benjamin is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they are the tribes that, like my brother said earlier about, sat at Mount Sinai and they heard the voice of the Most High when Messiah was given Moses those law. The second, Romans 11, 2. Elohim has not reject his people who he known beforehand. Or do you know not know what the scripture said of Eliyahu, how he pleaded for Elohim against Israel, saying.
Amen.
And then we want, I got another scripture. Psalms 94, 14 says, for Yahweh does not leave his people, nor does he forsake his inheritance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's pretty much it. You know, like the brother said, that's for sake of the question being answered is the nail in the coffin. We could have just read those first verses and closed the show up, to be honest with you. Because with Romans chapter 11, the question is asked and answered.
Mm-hmm.
I say then, hath mighty one cast away his... Yah forbid, period.
Yep.
Right then, right there. But the intention of everything else was to show not only are they not replacing Israel, they're not even people of the Most High at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the ways that they're practicing are not in accord with what the Most High has given. So what you have out here with this quote-unquote replacement theology is nothing more than the doctrine of the adversary, another means by which to keep Bible believers divided in their doctrine and their practices. So there's so many other things circulating in regards to Christianity, and Most High willing at some point after we finish with these questions that we're doing in these first segments, we're going to start looking at different passages that many Christians use to try to support the whole idea you're not under the law but under grace. And what we want to do, we want to look at those passages and we want to give the correct and the proper meaning to these passages so that when you read them, you know and understand better what it is that the Most High intended for his people, Israel. So hallelujah. We're going to stop right here for tonight. Next week, however, the question that we're going to be looking at is if this idea is something that's being circulated primarily among those who practice rabbinic Judaism. And the question is this: is the Torah only for Israel? Is the Torah only for Israel? And once again, this is a teaching that's being circulated by those who practice rabbinic Judaism. And we're going to look at a few passages in the Holy Scripture to clearly show that when the Most High gave the Torah, it was given to the nation of Israel through the prophet Moshe. It was always intended for all humanity to receive. Any closing comments from the brothers?
Man, good job. Well, I'm looking for the scripture. It's in Revelations. And it's talking about that holy city.
Is it
I think it's in that Holy said, I think it's in 21.
Amen.
And it goes through and it gives the name. It don't give actually the names, but it talks about the 12 tribes where the walls, if any brother can find that.
12.
What's
it? It's
21-12.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Having a great and high wall, having 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
Amen.
Christianity is not a 13th tribe.
Hallelujah.
Never will be a 13th tribe.
Amen.
And if you go down, everything is by 12.
Amen.
The 12 apostles.
Amen.
See, Yah had a thought in mind when he thought about Israel.
Amen.
We ain't getting some of those lost books, what they call lost books, but we call them found books.
Amen.
Or hidden books that the world tried to hide away from us.
Amen.
That beast system. We gonna always give it to the beast system because they hide a lot of knowledge.
Amen.
And they have fooled a lot of people.
Amen.
Thinking that they're going to have salvation. And there's another thought that always come across my mind when I'm talking to a person who doesn't believe the ways of Yah, because it's not my ways, it's the ways of Yah. But there's a scripture that the world goes to, that well done, my good and faithful servant. But there's a contrast scripture to that. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And we're going to get into the law like the brother said. And if you look up the word iniquity, it's talking about lawlessness. So if you are a Christian thinking you're under the new covenant and you're not keeping that, but you say that scripture every week, well done, my good and faithful servant. But depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's what you're going to hear. And anybody else who do not conform to his Torah, his ways. Because it's not our ways that we are conforming to. We're conforming to his ways. And we don't want to hear that.
Amen.
We don't want to be lawbreakers of his word.
That's right.
Because that's what the ministers got. Many people, they have y'all actually being criminals to the Most High. Go and read Matthew 5:17 when he talk about he have not done away with the law.
Amen. Hallelujah. That being said, we're going to close out tonight's broadcast, and we'll be with you all again, most God willing, next week, same time. Have one of the brothers close out in the prayer for us.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Toda Abba Yah for your Ruach, your spirit tonight, Father. Father, I ask that your word drop like dew, Father. As you said, it won't return unto you void. But for those who accept your words, let it grow root in them, Father. Let it spring forth, Father. Let them consider their ways and how they are living, Father. And change, Father. Conform to your words, Father. And for those who are Kohanims in your word, Father, strengthen them, Father, by your spirit alone, Father. Give them the Ruach HaKodesh, Father, and abundance, Father. Fill them up, Father. Because we are in perilous times, Father. We are in hard times, Father. The adversary is coming on every side, Father. So if those who are charged to teach your word, Father, fill them with your Ruach. Cover them, Father. We want to pray for Sister Melka and all those and her family, her mother, for Sister Ema and everybody who was under the weather, Father. Touch them, Father. Heal them, Father. All those. We want to pray for all Israel, Father. All those who adhere to your word, Father, those who are striving to walk in your commandments and have the testimony of Yahushua, Father. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Oh,
because you have rejected his instructions.